All right, welcome back to an episode of NBA Betting presented by Rosenballs. We might get to like the actual seeding predictions of each conference, and I know we did that earlier. We did it with about like a month left to the start of the season. I have some thoughts, and the way I want to kind of construct this was, you know, just final like Athlon sport preview type predictions, like the conference finals, who's going to win, who's really going to be a player. And biggest surprise, biggest disappointment heading into the season. So let's get right to it. And these are going to be, you know, biggest disappointment. And I'm trying to use ones that people haven't talked about enough, in my opinion, right? A lot of people right now are talking about the Memphis Grizzlies as a disappointment. Memphis over the last couple of years has been a top three seed, over 50 wins. And each year, Morant's been out for extended time, whether it's been suspensions or what have you. So they find a way. The team's improved now with Smart there, but it's the same core. Jenkins, you know, what they do in the playoffs, different story. But in the regular season, I don't think that team is going to disappoint. I actually think they might surprise because they're still going to be a top three seed. That's far more likely to me. The bigger disappointment here that no one's talking about, and there's a couple other ones that are runner-ups here. Another disappointment that I think people might consider is going to be the Dallas Mavericks. Again, not such an original thought. There was a disappointment last year. I don't think that the Luka Kyrie pairing is going to work. The rest of the team is such hot garbage. You can't just do that in today's NBA. They need other players. And the defense is just atrocious. So, again, they may miss the playoffs altogether, but again, not such a huge surprise or disappointment, rather. Here's the disappointment. It's the Golden State Warriors. They've been getting steadily worse each year. Remember, they were a play-in team a couple years ago. They barely made it this past year. And even this past year, look, it took them seven games to beat the Kings. That's fine. You beat the Kings. That's good. They didn't look good doing so. And these guys are aging, right? Draymond Green's aging, Curry, Clay. And the issue to me is actually the Jordan Poole to Chris Paul drop-off. Now, look, I'm not a Jordan Poole fan at all, but what he does well is, you know, give you proper minutes and usage that your team's going to need during the regular season. He controls units, can lead them in scoring, you know, and give Clay, Curry a much-needed break, particularly, you know, with the offensive end. Chris Paul's 39 years old. I mean, like, that's a lot to expect from Chris to do that, to do what Jordan Poole did. I don't think Paul could get you the minutes, which is going to hurt them, right? I like Paul. If you're talking about one game, yeah, I'd rather take Paul, but his age are going to be a concern. The little losses are going to add up. So they lost DiVincenzo. Anthony Lamb's not there. I believe JaMychal Green is there, but they're thinner, and there's more reliance now on Kuminga and Moody. I know. It's going to be year three for Kuminga. It's put up or shut up time. Moses Moody, you know, those two guys started to look a little bit better. There's hope there, but that bench is weak real fast, right? Especially if Chris Paul starts. So I don't trust them in a fairly loaded West. I could see them missing the playoffs altogether, not even making the plan. There's other teams I like more, well note. And, you know, defensively, they have concerns as well. You know, after Looney, as a center, I think, while the whole Weissman thing, I totally get moving him. They also didn't get a lot of depth for him. Now, there's a couple things that could go their way, right? Gary Payton III now is going to have there a full year. He was underrated for them. That was a good pickup, obviously. So, you know, that's the other play there. But, yeah, I'm anticipating several injuries and really more. The West is more loaded. Other teams are deeper. They're younger. And I think they could surpass Golden State. So that's one of my big things, which is going to lead to, like, you know, something that Goldstein needs to figure. No one wants to be the 90s Celtics, right? Like the post-dynasty, they didn't move guys quick enough and all that. There's a reason why the Warriors have been sort of hesitant on, you know, giving Clay that extension. This is why. I think they also have concerns, right? And if they see, like, this team isn't really doing it, you know, do you hold off on Clay? You know, what do you do with Curry? Right? Like, I think he needs to retire a Warrior, I would think. So, a lot of concerns here. Now, if Golden State was really risky, you could always jump into the James Harden sweepstakes and just go crazy. That's like a case of emergency break open glass move. You don't have to deal too much. You have to beat the Clippers offer, and I think Moses Moody might be enough to do that. And if at most Kuminga, it's an option, okay? But it's just, again, pretty risky for Golden State, and I just think other teams are better. I think they'll fight for the play-in, and there's a decent chance they don't make it, right? You can argue with me who's better in the teams I mentioned in the surprise list, but you're going to have, you know, New Orleans, Minnesota, Dallas, Utah are in that mix between, you know, eight and, you know, a couple of those teams aren't going to make it. So, and then you also got the Clippers there and the Lakers, right? So, like, it's not a shoe-in by any means for them to make that play-in. That is my biggest disappointment in the West. We'll go back and forth here. Let's do biggest disappointment in the East. So I actually have a few here, but one of the first ones I definitely need to know, and this is not going to be the most shocking thing either. It's sort of bubbling up, I would say. And again, the East is getting obviously better. You know, the NBA, this is a great league, right? My biggest disappointment is going to be the Philadelphia 76ers. In the playoffs, I get it. They took the Celtics to seven games. They clobbered Brooklyn. Okay, fine. Obviously, the Harden thing is going to loom around. And I even think the Embiid thing might loom. Remember, Embiid had a fluky-ish healthy year. Usually not that healthy. And also, the playoffs exposed them a little bit, where teams figured out, hey, if you pressure this guy early, you know, in his post moves, there's not much he can do. So there's obviously a ton of reliance on Tyrese Maxey. Harris is in a potential expiring contract. Does he replicate a 60-plus true shooting percentage again? It's tough numbers to replicate. So I see more regression towards the mean for that. And obviously, like, depends what happens with Harden. But if he's not there, that's a big decline. And they didn't look as good down the stretch last year. So, again, with other teams good in the West, I don't love them. I have a couple of teams here in the East that are going to be disappointing. So the other one to me that could drop a little bit, I wouldn't overrate this either, but it's going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers were a 4 seed last year. They looked really bad in the playoffs against the Knicks. And look, their big offseason play was just Max Strauss. There's a lot more that the Cavs need to help with. Their team is underratedly thin, really no depth. They lost Rubio. I mean, he's retiring, basically, it seems, or, you know, out for, indefinitely, if you will. He's contemplating retirement. He was huge for them. He was huge in the last couple of years. When he's been out, there's really been a noticeable dip, particularly in the second unit. They lost Shetty Osman. Again, doesn't sound like a whole lot, but you're really now over-relying on certain rotational pieces like Bang Bang Niang, who I think is a flash-in-the-pan kind of guy. Good off-the-ball talent to an extent, but, like, you know, replace Kevin Love with George Niang, that's a big drop-off. And I don't think Strauss is enough to, you know, make up for all of those things. LeVert's still there. I get it. Mitchell's still there. And they were a team that looked good in the beginning, but flamed down in the end. They did this the last couple of years. So I don't love now Cleveland. Look, I still think they'll make the playoffs, but I think there's going to be a drop off in that top four area, particularly with some other surprises that I see there. So, again, kind of co-disappointments in the East. Let's get to the West now. Biggest surprise, right? Look, everybody's talking about OKC. I want to have an original thought. I don't think it's a surprise if everyone is expecting it, right? Like, you're not going to be shocked now if OKC does get the top 4 seed, which I think they very well could. Not gonna shock me. Okay, so it's not a surprise. I think they're going to be good, but I think the bigger surprise of a team that could really jump up to, you know, flirting with a top 4 seed potentially are the New Orleans Pelicans. Okay, the Pelicans were a top 3 seed before Zion went down last year. I get it. He gets hurt every year, injuries, blah, 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 blah. But the Pelicans are doing a couple things right. The other big thing that they're doing is they're moving out Valanciunas from the rotation. So now I could see more Zion at the five. It's they have the most intriguing offensive unit potential in the NBA. Herb Jones is going to be back. He had an off year last year. I could see him getting back in there. And now some of the second-year guys can come up, right? Second- or third-year guys, Trey Murphy, Dyson Daniels. They get anything from those guys, it's a really interesting rotation. But check out the starting unit potential, right? You got C.J. McCollum, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson. That is a loaded starting five. That's one of the best starting fives in the league. And their bench isn't too shabby either, particularly Valanciunas coming off it. Still got Larry Nance Jr., Dyson Daniels, as noted, Najir Marshall, Jose Alvarado. I mean, that's a great team. So they could definitely be the Sacramento Kings of this year. Again, a good regular season team. A lot of it does depend on Zion's health. You know, he doesn't have to be healthy for 82 games. He was healthy for 25 games last year. Something in between. They're in talks for a top four seed if they can gain some of that health, particularly with the Valanciunas sort of rotational mix, which I thought was critical for them. So love the Pels. A lot of it's gonna actually come due to, like, is CJ McCollum the right point guard for them for that type of unit? The talent's there. Is the fit all perfect? Not super great, I would say. Still super strong. So that is a surprise for me. And again, like, other notable surprises that could happen. A lot of people are talking about Minnesota. You know, I still think they got to figure out the talents thing. I know Edwards is supposed to take a lift. The rest of the team is on shaky ground, in my opinion. I know Naz Reid looked a little nice. McLaughlin is a little bit better. The other team that is worthy a look are the Utah Jazz, of course, right? Now, you can argue it was last year fluky. They didn't end it well. Yeah, I get it. The spacing is still there. They did get a couple great draft picks, Taylor Hendricks in particular. Their issue is going to really be point guard. You know, Colin Sexton, I don't love for them. And then, you know, throw a little Tucker at the one. So that's a team that can make some noise. That's another surprise potential. But, yeah, New Orleans is my surprise potential. Let's go to the East Coast. Let's finish it off with some surprises in the East. So I'm going to go both ends of this. So I know this is going to sound shocking. I'm a Celtics fan, guys. But one of my biggest surprises in the East, I can't believe I'm saying this. I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth. But it's the New York Knicks. I actually think I get it. Like, the Knicks are not a surprise. They were surprised last year. Here's the surprise. I think there's a shot the Knicks have the best record in the NBA next year. Okay? Tibbs is a great regular season coach. That team's depth is sublime, and the fit is really, really good. You're talking about now Grimes being healthy, quickly. Dante DiVincenzo now in there. You know, so the chemistry is going to spill over. RJ Barrett should have a plus improvement from this past year. So I expect, you know, the Knicks to flirt with high 50s in wins, which could absolutely put them in conversation as a top seed in the East. I like them better regular season-wise than the Celtics or the Bucks. That doesn't mean the playoffs. That just means the regular season, right? On the other end, love the Indiana Pacers. The Indiana Pacers are going to be a surprise team in the East. They're already looking really good last year. Again, a lot of it's dependent on Tyrese Halliburton's health. But you look at Halliburton combined with a lot of these spacers, Turner, Ben Mathurin, Aaron Naismith now in there, and then the rookies, Jairus Walker, right? So really like Indiana. I think Indiana is going to be a playoff team in the East, which is a surprise to them. Always had really good coaching, Carlisle back there. So I expect good things from Indiana there. And then, you know, some other sort of predictions, and we'll finish off here till the next pod. What are my predictions in the East? Is going to be like, look, I think the Celtics are going to win the title, okay, flat out. I think they have the best playoff rotation. It's going to depend on health, obviously, but with Jrue Holiday there as your closer, the units, that's quite strong. It's quite strong. So really, really like, really like them. The other sort of team I can see in the East kind of threatening them, I don't think it's going to be the Knicks. It's obviously the Bucks. Those are sort of the two best teams, playoff-wise, if you will. So I see Celtics over Bucks in the East. A lot of this could depend on, you know, seedings and stuff, which is why I don't like it. But obviously, the Bucks are the second biggest threat. My concern with the Bucks is the acclimation will take Giannis and Damian Lillard to figure it out. You know, Damian Lillard is not a plug and play guy. He looks like it because he could space, but he's not like Kevin Durant in that way. Kevin Durant can go in a situation and do well. You already saw some awkwardness. Granted, it's one freaking game in the preseason, but like a lot of times when offensive talents try to acclimate, it's like pick your offense, right? It's like, oh, it's your turn, my turn, your turn, my turn. I could see some of that a little bit, and then you need to figure that out. That's going to cost them a little bit in the regular season. Also, Middleton's been hurt, so you know their big X factor in the Bucks is going to be Jay Crowder. I haven't seen him in a couple of years. Is he back? I don't know. He's been aging since then. That's what I do know. But the Celtics, Drew Holiday is very much a plug-and-play guy. And that upgrade going from Smart to Holiday is insane. It's an insane upgrade. The issue is going to be, like, the KP versus Robert Williams kind of minutes. And I do think the Celtics need to, you know, be active in the buyout market, which is going to be under really big for them. You know, who's the Andre Drummond for them? That's going to pop out. There could be names that appear we don't know yet. But that's definitely going to be a good target because they definitely need, you know, backup to Al Horford. Al Horford's a big X factor for them. People are not talking enough about the reliance on Horford for the Celtics. And, you know, he's been aging too. Like we talked about with Chris Paul. And, you know, he could get old to the extent that if his rotations start dipping and relying a lot on KP, you're going to lose a lot of passing in your front court. If the Celtics really want to solidify their title run, the guy they go after next year, I'm calling it right now, is Kelly Olynyk. I've been saying this for years. Olynyk would be a perfect fit. Obviously knows the system well, knows Stevens, you know, and the staff and all that. To get that guy in your rotation would be so key, but I digress. On the West, look, it's Denver's conference to lose. I know it's not fun. It's not an exciting thing. I know we talked about New Orleans. I don't think, you know, anyone's really a threat to Denver at this stage. They are so much better than the Lakers. I get the Lakers got a little bit better. I get that AD is a little bit better. Austin Reeves, all that. There was such a big difference between these two teams. It's really Denver and everybody else in the West. I don't think it's close. I think you have Michael Porter Jr. another year maturing. I get that they lost Bruce Brown, which, by the way, is a good impact for Indiana, as I talked about my surprise teams that I neglected to mention. But it's not like you're replacing him with Christian Braun, who looked better, is fine. It's not great, but you know, Phoenix, I think it's going to take a while for them to get the flow together. I think there's some defensive concerns there, particularly with Beal and Booker in a backcourt. And again, it's more of like it's how well do they complement? It's okay. It's not the 08 Celtics, I'll tell you that. So I see Denver Celtics in the finals. And I think the Celtics are going to take it. I do. I think they're not going to go 0-5 in the last 5 years is this disappointment. They're going to get that ring. I think Tatum wins MVP. I think they're going to give it to him. Considering everything else. Yeah. So I see Celtics over Denver. Tatum is the MVP. Thibodeau is coach of the year, by the way. You know, this is like Byron Scott and Mike Brown 2.0. This guy just keeps coming back to life and winning coach of the years. Yeah, so those are really, you know, other predictions. I think like rookie of the year, you know, Victor Wembanyama, if he gets minutes, it's his to lose. Him or Chet. I know people talk a lot about Chet. Chubby on a winning team, but I don't think he's going to have the usage to put up numbers. Scoot might, right? Scoot could be in that conversation too. But yeah, overall, really exciting year. Very excited for it. Let me know what you think about my disappointments and my surprises. I don't see anything else. Like Toronto was a disappointment last year. Will they do it 2 years in a row? There's other situations that are going on where like teams are now afraid to rebuild because they've seen like Sacramento and these other teams revamp, and I think ownership's going to put the pressure on them. But they need to rebuild. They do. So the question is, like, Toronto could make a mix. If they start dealing guys and other guys grab them, you know, that could obviously fluctuate the standings and everything like that. But, you know, next time we'll do the standing recommendation probably later this evening. Until then, we'll speak soon.